I welcome every one of you here for the Prana Festival, very consistently held monthly for the last 152 months. It's a very great glory of the Chaupati Temple. His Grace Gauranga Prabhu and the other team of devotees have been putting up this program with such great ocean of youths from all over Bombay coming together, and I appreciate every one of you for taking part in such events regularly and taking home various lessons for personal application. In today's talk, I hope to answer this very vital question, especially in this day and age that everybody gets. Should we take tit for tat or should we tolerate? One of my inspirations for speaking on this topic was His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. He always concludes most of his lectures with one famous verse which many of you may know. Anybody knows what is the shloka he generally uses towards the end of his lectures? Trinadapi shunechena tarurapi sahishtana. So this verse he would quote always. So yeah, when I came for one of the Prana festivals, one student was asking a question. Are we supposed to be humble and tolerant always? Or is there some occasion where we also can protest or retaliate or not tolerate also? So that put me to thinking very seriously on this topic. And I did some research in the scriptures as well as practical life also. And material world is remarkably different from the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, first chapter, second verse, that spiritual world is a competition-less society. It's a very happy society where all water is nectar. Nobody walks in spiritual world. What they do? They only dance. Nobody talks in spiritual world. They only sing. Nobody drinks ordinary water. They only drink honey. And nobody is envious. Everybody is friend of everybody else. And everybody thinks, everybody else is my boss and I am their das. So everybody wants to become dasanu das in spiritual world. Whereas in material world, everybody wants to become basanu boss. Isn't it? And in material world, everybody wants to put themselves in the center. Whereas in spiritual world, everybody puts the Lord in the center. So, material world is quite different from the spiritual world, where there is a cutthroat competition. In the spiritual world, the tiger and deer, they drink water together. Tiger doesn't see deer as a eatable. Whereas in material world, we know the tiger chases after a deer to eat it. In the same manner, even in human society also, you all are living in Bombay. When I go to Dadar, I find the people carrying suitcase and running fast. Very, very fast. Run, run, run. What we call as rat race. So, life is very fast. And there is a big competition for getting jobs, getting placements, and making money. Life is not very easy, which you all have practical experience living in a city like Bombay. So, therefore, in such a world where living beings are not pure, they act erratically, especially in rajoguna, tamaguna, as we call it, in lower modes, they are afflicted by lust, anger and greed. So how do we act while dealing with them? Are we just supposed to tolerate whatever they say, whatever they do and just go on with our life? Or are we supposed to act differently? Somebody may say, if everything here is like spiritual world, then I will be the perfect gentleman. But can you change this world around you? You can't change it. So then how are we supposed to live? Therefore, these questions will be answered probably as we go through the talk today and by the time we come to the end of the lecture. You all might have heard the famous story in your school days. Once upon a time, a crane invited a fox to his home for eating. But the crane had a big jar, two jars of some vegetable soup or something. So the crane put the beak inside and drank it. And the fox had a tough time. You know what the fox tried to do? He could only smell the soup. He couldn't put his, it was very long. And the fox became very angry. And the fox said, okay, I invite you next week to my home. And what he did, he had a plate, flat plate, in which the fox was happily drinking the soup. And he told the crane, you also drink in that plate. And the crane had a tough time with the beak. He couldn't get even a drop of it. Isn't it? So these stories are said to show tit for tat. Tit for tat means, if you do something to me, I will do that back to you. And this is the way this world functions. On the contrary, even in this world, there are people who are gentlemanly and who don't do tit for tat. I heard one story of Gandhi which very much appealed to me. Once he was sitting in a ship deck, and one of the one gentleman and other portion of the deck was watching Gandhi, and he thought Gandhi is, you know, freaking out by wearing a dhoti and, you know, simple angavastra, is showing off as if you know, he doesn't care for anyone, because everybody else was wearing coat, suit, boot, tie and everything except Gandhi. So he wanted to prove that Gandhi is an ordinary man. So he drew some caricatures, he drew some drawings like Gandhi looking like a monkey with the specs in 4 or 5 pages, and he pinned them all together and came and handed over to Gandhi and said, take this, something valuable I am giving you. And he went up and he wanted to laugh at Gandhi. He wanted to incite Gandhi basically. So when Gandhi went through those pages, of course he understood the intention of this fellow. Then after some time the man came back and asked, how is it that you are keeping quiet? I gave you something valuable. Where is that? Gandhiji showed hand to the dustbin. He said, go there. You'll find it there. Now the man became angry. You see, the human psychology is, if we hurl some words at others, and if they don't take it and they are cheerful, they will come back to us. Like, you know, the Vetal. Somebody sends a Vetal on somebody, but that person is a very highly spiritual person, and he didn't get affected. What happens to Vetal? It comes back to the same person who sends it. Now this fellow wanted to make him angry, but ultimately he ended up becoming angry himself. And Gandhi said, I did keep something valuable what you gave me. And he opened his purse and showed the pin. This is the only valuable thing I found, he said. So when I heard this, I felt, if we can act with a cool head like this, we can save ourselves from so much stress in this day and age. So that requires tremendous inner stability. One time one politician wrote ill of Gandhiji in a newspaper. One paragraph. Many bad things about him. So somebody brought the newspaper and came running to Gandhi and said, sir, there is something so bad about you in the newspaper they have written. Gandhiji didn't even see it. So the man asked, do you want us to write a counter article denying this? Gandhiji smiled and said, you see, if a shoe bites you, will you bite the shoe back? He asked him. Sometimes you buy a new shoe, it bites your leg. Will you take the shoe and bite it? So he said, forget it. Do something meaningful. Do something fruitful, he said. So there are people who don't take tit for tat also, like this, which I told you now. So now we get a question naturally. So some people may hate us. Some people may beat us. Some people may loot us. Some people may do anything to us. Are we supposed to just behave like Gandhi, the way we said now? Just tolerate it and go on. So, in order to answer this, I will quote a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which will make you faint. You will be shocked to hear this verse. Tiraskrita vipralabdha shapta kshipta hata api nasyatat pratikurvanti tadbhakta prabhavopihi. There are 5 situations given in this verse. So we will take these 5 situations and see some examples of people who did tit for tat in these situations and other people who did not do tit for tat. First he says, tiraskrita means defamed. If somebody defames a person, Vipralabdha means somebody cheats a person. Shapta, somebody curses a person. Kshipta means neglected, neglecting a person. Hata means kill a person. So these are five situations given. All are very painful situations. So how would one behave? So let us take one by one. First one I told you, tiraskrita means defamed. In the Bhagavatam itself we have examples for this. There were two young girls once went to a lake to take a bath and play with their friends in the waters. One girl was a Shukracharya's daughter called Devyani. Another, her name was Devyani. Another girl was Sarmishta, who was the king's daughter, King Vrishaparva's daughter. So they both were friends also. So they went to play in the waters and they kept all their clothes in the bank of the lake and then they were playing in the waters. And suddenly Lord Shiva, along with Parvati, was passing in a bull, Nandi bull, through that forest. So when the girls saw, they felt that it's inappropriate for us to be like this, practically without any dress in the waters. It would be offensive to Shiva. So immediately Sarmishta, the Kshatriya's daughter, she went and put on a dress which was not her dress. She put on whose dress? Devyani's dress. So as soon as she put on the Devyani's dress, see, Devyani is a Brahmana's daughter and Sarmishta is king's daughter. So when Devyani saw, she became wild. At the spur of the moment, due to her inability to tolerate, she spoke some sharp words. She said, "Hey Sarmishta, look at you. You are like a dog who is carrying away clarified butter." Because generally the Brahmanas keep some clarified butter ghee for performing yajna. And as if a dog is carrying away, you have carried it away, she said. See, these words are all loaded words. Because a dog is an animal which gives protection to the home. Similarly, she said, you are a Kshatriya, king's daughter, you are supposed to protect the Brahminical culture. And you are actually taking away the, like a dog carrying away ghee, you have taken away my clothes, she said. And when Sarmishta heard it, she became so angry. She picked up Devyani and threw her into a dry well. Generally, Brahmanas speak with words and Kshatriyas act. Right now. So, as a Brahmana's daughter, she had a sharp tongue and she said, "I am action lady. I will show you now. Come." She put her in the well. So, this is an example of tit for tat, isn't it? Oh, you are saying something bad about me? Take it. On the other hand, there is an example of Shiva. See, Lord Shiva is generally very calm, cool, collected. He is called as Charachara Guru, Nirvairam. He has no enmity towards anyone. He is always, Prashant, completely peaceful. So one day in a sabha, when Shiva was sitting like this, actually there were many other great souls sitting. Brahma was there, Shiva was there, many other sages, saints, devatas and all. So Daksha Prajapati, who was a king who entered, everybody stood up, but Shiva did not get up. Because Shiva was at that time absorbed in meditation on Lord Krishna. So he didn't get up. So Brahma also didn't get up, but Brahma is the father of Daksha. So Daksha didn't mind, he is my father, no problem. My father is not expected to get up when I come. But then when he saw Shiva, oh, Shiva didn't get up. Who is Shiva? Daksha thought, Shiva is my son-in-law. He is my daughter's husband. And he is not respecting me. And he profusely insulted him in the public. See, all of us, if somebody insults us with one or two words privately, even that pierces our heart like an arrow. Arrow piercing the chest. But he publicly insulted Shiva in front of everybody, saying many bad things. He said, "Your eyes are like owl's eye. My daughter's eyes are like a deer's eye. And I had to give my daughter in marriage because this Parameshti Brahma told me to give in marriage to you." So he scolded Brahma also. So he was in angry mood. Which means he actually didn't want to give his daughter in marriage to him. But because Brahma a little bit pushed, he gave. Now he went out that anger. So in that case, Shiva was silently sitting peacefully. He didn't counterattack. He didn't do tit for tat. He tolerated. After some time, he got up and walked out. He thought it is useless to waste time there. So I told you two opposite examples now. The two girls, how they were doing tit for tat, whereas Shiva was so tolerant. So sometimes you may get a question in your life, When should we act and when should we tolerate? But eventually I will answer that question as we proceed. But the second one, let us proceed to the second one. Tiraskrita is actually defamed, and Viparada is cheat. Cheating. If somebody cheats us, how many of you will become angry if somebody cheats you? Correct? Yeah. Only half of them will become angry. Others seem to be cool-headed. See, when I went to Jagannath Puri, you know Jagannath Puri? Once I went to Jagannath Puri Yatra. So one boy came and gave one long dashavatar, you know. So when I saw that, it appeared like made of stone, you know. Very attractive. I asked him how much it is. He said, 10 avatars, so 100 rupees, he said. So, I was shocked. Just 100, that's all. I was already about to take a 500 rupee note. And he said, it's just 100. It was actually like the cement color. It was like a stone one. It was very substantial, very attractive. I thought I can keep it in my office. It'll be very nice, all the dashavataras. And I was about to pay 100 to him. Then generally in India, it is said we should not purchase anything without bargaining first, you know. So, I thought I'll bargain, you know. So, then I asked him, you know, can you give me at 80 rupees? He said, okay, take it, 90 rupees I'll give you, he said. Generally, that's what they do. So, then I was thinking that, okay, I'll give him 100 rupees, and I thought I got a very good deal that day. And another fellow was passing by, and he was shouting the same thing he was selling at 50 rupees. I was shocked, you know? That's all. And this fellow is cheating me at 90. You know? And I was about to purchase that. Then one devotee came and told me, Prabhuji, I have already purchased 10 pieces in 25 rupees each. I was even more shocked. You know? Then he told me, this is actually mold. This is made in machine. They make in thousands actually. So, therefore, we all have to be careful before we purchase anything anywhere. Correct, no? None of us want to be cheated. We want to be cautious. Actually, if you get cheated, it makes us look like a fool. Therefore, we don't like to be cheated, isn't it? Yeah. But one time what happened, in the Bhagavatam, there is an example that Diti was the mother of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, two great asuras. And when these asuras were killed, at that time Diti became very angry. But who killed these two personalities? Lord Vishnu only killed. Can she become angry on Vishnu? No. She said, actually Vishnu is very good, but this Indra is a very bad guy. Because for helping this Indra only, Lord Vishnu killed my two sons. So she made up her mind, I want to kill Indra. Like that she thought in her mind. But how can I kill Indra? I am a lady, I can't myself kill him. But I need a son to kill him. But my husband Kashyapa, he also knows Lord Vishnu and everything, so he will not give me a son to kill, he will not give me a son to kill Indra, what to do? Then she started dealing with her husband very beautifully. She spoke very sweet words, she served him very nicely, she was very submissive, and a few weeks, the way she behaved, the husband got sold out to wife. One day the husband told her, oh my dear wife, you are so submissive, every morning you are doing Manchakalpataruvesha. You are doing namaskar to me every morning. And you are folding palms and talking to me. You are always smiling at me. You are very cooperative. I am feeling so happy with you. Ask me whatever boon you want. Like that he said. Then she said, now I will tell you now. She said, give me a son to kill Indra. And then Kashyapa turned to the other side and said, alas, alas. You know, I have been cheated by this lady. What to do now? Of course, Kashyapa contemplated on a very great devotional Bhakti Yoga program for her called Pumsavana. He told her, my dear lady, you want a son to kill Indra? Okay, follow this procedure for 1 year and then you will get a son to kill Indra. But in case you break any of the principles in this vow, then you will not get a son to kill Indra. Then that fellow will not be able to kill Indra. She said, I will strictly adhere for one full year. She promised him. So now, Diti was following this vow and somehow this news got around to Indra. See, many such things actually word gets around to people. Correct, no? Rumor. Or even through gossip matters spread, you see. Somehow or other Indra had come to know. When Indra had come to know, he came to, because who is Indra of Aditi? Aditi is Indra's mother. Aditi is her sister. So, naturally it is like, what do you call your mother's sister? Masi, yeah. So he came to meet his Masi and said, Masi, you know, now that you are pregnant, you are very tired, I want to serve you and help you. And I can bring firewood for you and I can do the household cooking and everything, don't worry. You can relax. And she thought, oh, how suddenly this fellow's service attitude has increased. He wants to serve me. But she was happy. Anyway, he is my sister's son, wants to help me, let him do. But Indra actually came with the intention to cheat her. What was his intention? In case she breaks any rule, I will enter into her womb and kill the child. That was his intention. And he was waiting. One day this lady, Diti, she actually didn't wash her mouth after eating prasad. Because it was many months. She was very tired. And when she was lying down, Indra entered into her womb. And he took his thunderbolt to kill the child in the womb. So when he cut the womb, that got cut into 7 pieces. And all the 7 pieces were crying simultaneously. Indra, don't kill us, don't kill us. And they were shocked, my lord, it has become 7. Again he took his thunderbolt and cut second time. That became 49. And all 49 were crying, Indra, don't kill us, don't kill us. Now Indra became fearful. The number of children are increasing now, they all will finish me now. But then he got one good news. What was it? Those children told him, Indra, why are you killing us? We are your friends. We are not asuras. We are demigods. We are actually Maruts. We are demigods. And Indra was surprised. How is it? My mother Aditi gives birth to devatas and Diti gives birth to asuras. But how did she give birth to devatas? That is because of her devotional service. Because of her bhakti. Now, when Diti gave birth to children, how many children came out? 50 children came, including Indra. 49 plus 1. Of course, one is a big child. Other 49 came. And Diti was surprised. She said, Indra, how are you coming from inside? Along with my children? What is your business? How did you go into my home? And you are coming along with my children. And Indra felt very shy. Aunt, I am very shy to tell you. Actually, I came to kill your children. I came with a cheating mentality. But they all became devotees, so I couldn't kill them by power of Lord Vishnu. And because of your bhakti yoga, they all became devotee children. And Diti said, now that you have expressed your truth, I will tell you truth about what I did. Actually, I also intended to kill you, she said. Therefore, I begot this child. But by the power of bhakti yoga, they all turned into devotee children. What can I do? Now you take them all with you. They are your followers. So both of them gave up the envy for one another. But the idea is, here you find in this pastime, they both had an intention to cheat each other. Correct, no? In this world, when one person cheats another, the other person cheats this person. Correct, no? That's what we call tit for tat. Correct? Yeah. On the other hand, you will find there are people with very high integrity in this world. You know, the word integrity has multiple meanings. One meaning is integrity means walking your talk. That means doing what you promised at any cost. Never give up what you promised. Sometimes you promise somebody something and when phone call comes, you are afraid. My Lord, this fellow is following me up now. And then sometimes the father tells the child, Beta, tell him that I am not at home. And the child says, Papa ne bola ki ghar mein nahi hai. And then that fellow says, oh, theek hai, papa ke paas do abhi. Correct, na? So, some people promise something and they don't keep it. That is duplicity. Correct, lack of integrity. And integrity, one meaning of integrity is to walk our talk and being truthful, being honest. Integrity is greater than honesty also. See, honesty means to say what you will do. Integrity means to do what you said. You know, actually there's a story of a cow in Bahulavan and Vrindavan. This cow was captured by a lion. And the cow cried. The lion said, are you crying because I am going to eat you? The cow said, no. I am not crying, father. Everybody has to die one day. But I didn't give my milk to my calf today. So if you permit me, I will give milk to my calf and inform the calf, take care of yourself and I'll come back. And the lion also let him go. Let her go. So the cow went, gave the milk. And then last time, could see the calf and come back. When the cow came back, the lion was amazed. You kept your word. You kept your promise. It is so amazing. You are not afraid of your life. You are more interested in following the truth. So I release you. You can go back. And the cow went back after that. So this is integrity, we call it. Keeping one's word. So I will tell you one little story of one very great personality who kept his word like this. And even though somebody tried to cheat him, he did not cheat them back. His name is Nabaga. In the 9th canto you will read. This Nabaga's son was Nabaga. So this Nabaga, king's son, he joined Brahmacharya Ashrama under his guru. And in those days, kings also would join the Gurukula. King's son also will join Gurukula. But then they will take a few years training, come back and take up the rule of the kingdom. And they are called Upakurvana Brahmacharis, like Krishna and Sudama, correct? They went to Vijayagurukul, they went. Avanti in Ujjain, under Sanjipani Muni. Then they both came and they both got married. So they are called Upakurvana Brahmacharis. But then there are Brahmacharis who are called Brihadbrata Brahmacharis. So he took Brihadbrata, means they remain celibates for whole life. And they take sannyas directly. So this fellow, Nabaga, stayed in Guru's ashram for a long period of time. So his brothers thought, now that he has not come for a long time, this fellow is not going to marry. So they divided the property amongst themselves. But then after a long time, he came back home. Now what is the duty of the brothers? Each of them should cut a portion of their share and give it to him. You agree? Because now the brother has come back home, now he wants to live. He is going to marry and settle, so they have to give him. But you know what the brothers did? They cheated him. The brothers were very cunning. They called him and said, "Hey Nabaga, we all have taken different lands of our father, property, money also we have shared. For you, we are giving our father as your share. Take him." And he was very simple and innocent. So he went to his father and said, "My dear father, they have given you as my share. So please come with me. Now I will take you somewhere and I will take care of you." And father laughed and said, "My son, they are simply cheating you. I am an old man, what will you do with me? I am penniless now. You are not going to get anything with me. They are simply cheating you. But I have some wisdom which I will share with you." He said, "The 6 days there is some Angirasa and Yajna is going to go on. You go and help them to chant certain mantras. And they will give you some gold and silver and diamond and everything they will give you. In 6 days you will get. And that will be your share. You take it and you can be happy." You know what he did? Nabaga went there. The Brahmanas chanted the Vedic mantras. And the last day they were stuck up for the mantras and he supplied them the mantra. And then they gave him all the gold and diamond and silver, everything from the Yajna. Now Nabaga took it. He was about to leave there. At that time Lord Shiva came. Lord Shiva said, and the Brahmanas had gone away already. Shiva told him, "This wealth belongs to me," he said. And Nabaga said, "Actually my father had told me to take this wealth. And now that you are saying it is yours, can you please wait for a minute? I will check with my father and come." And Shiva said, "Yes." So he went and checked with his father. Shiva said it is his money and father said, yes, beta, it is his money only. He said. Then he came back and did namaskar to Shiva and said, "Yes, my father has confirmed it's your money only. You can take everything." Like that he said. Actually imagine if you were in his position, what you would have done. Imagine Shiva is claiming that it is his wealth. What you told Shiva? "Hey, my father has told it is my money. You get lost from here." You would have told him, correct? Or you would have told, "I will check with my father, but you come with me. You will take all the wealth and go to home. And when your father says, yes, this wealth belongs to Shiva, you will ask your father, is your brain proper? Because you only told me 6 days I waited there and I took the wealth and now you are saying it is Shiva. I should have recorded it that time. What is this? I don't have audio clip of what you spoke. Isn't it?" So he didn't fight with his father. Initially his father said it will be yours. Now he is saying it is whose? Shiva's. So his father says, so he gave it to him. Shiva became so pleased with him. He said, I was just testing you. Please take all this wealth. Not only this wealth, I will also give you spiritual knowledge. I will teach you knowledge about Atma Paramatma Sambandha also. So this is a very amazing pastime, because Nabhaga's brothers cheated him of wealth, but Nabhaga got abundant wealth now. Plus he got spiritual knowledge also, which his brothers didn't get. Correct, no? So in this way, this is the story of somebody, even though he was cheated, he did not cheat back his brothers, isn't it? So I am telling you opposite examples. I told you, Diti and Indra example, where they were cheating each other. Whereas Nabhaga did not cheat his brothers, but he, at the end of the day, he became glorious. He flourished actually. Now, Tiraskrita means defamed, Vipralabdha means cheat, Shapta means cursed. You see, in this world, if somebody, one fellow curses another, that fellow will curse back. That's the way the world is, isn't it, for that. You know, one boy called Kachap was going to take tuition from Shukracharya for learning Mrita Sanjeevani Mantra. Mrita Sanjeevani Mantra is, if a soldier dies in the battle, within a few minutes before the soul leaves and goes far away, you can recover back. Some mantras are to be learned. So he was learning that. So Shukracharya's daughter, Devyani, she was at a marriageable age. So she was finding out which boy will be suitable for me. I want to marry. So amongst the boys who were coming to her father, Shukracharya, she found Kacha was, very intelligent and handsome. So she thought in her mind, maybe I can marry him. So she went to him and proposed directly to him, Kacha, I want to marry you. He was shocked. He said, you see, I come to your father for tuition, and if I want to marry you, your father will be wild on me. You are supposed to be respectable for me. It is improper for me to marry you. He said, so I cannot marry you, because I have not come here for such activities. I have come for learning from your father. Like that he said. And she became angry on him. She said, so you will not marry me? She said, I curse you that whatever Mrita Sanjeevani mantra you learned, that will be useless for you at the time when you need it. Like that she cursed. He said, what? You are cursing me like this? I curse you back that no Brahmana will marry you. He also cursed her. So tit for tat. Correct, no? Therefore, Devayani had to marry a Kshatriya, Yayati, later on. You will see that. So, when one is given curse, they may curse back. But this is not the case with great devotees. You see, once when Saubari Muni was living in Yamuna, and all the fishes told him that, actually we want to live a carefree life in these waters. But this Garuda always keeps coming, and we are, anytime Garuda may come and pick up any of us, so we are very worried. So he said to the fishes, don't worry, I will be your protector. I will start a fish protection organization. So I will be the director of that organization. So I will protect all of you. Do not worry. Like that he gave them assurance. Now Garuda came flying. On that day Garuda was very hungry. So Saubari Muni said, hey Garuda, no, you cannot approach this Yamuna anymore. He said, because I have given assurance to fishes that none of them will be picked up by you anymore. Now that they are in my custody, you cannot touch them. But Garuda was too hungry that day. He thought, okay, I will not come here anymore. But right now I will pick only one at least. Because right now I am very hungry. So he picked up the leader of the fishes, who was the stoutest one. He picked him up. And Saubari Muni became so angry, he said, despite my word, you did not obey me. You are still picking up. I curse you that next time you come to pick up a fish, you will die. Like that he cursed him. So Garuda actually cannot be cursed by anyone. Because Garuda, who is Garuda? He is a Vahan of Lord Vishnu. When Garuda is moving his wings, the Samaveda is coming out of his wings. Tobhyam namami Sri Lakshmikantam. Like that, the waves, every time he moves his wings, Lord's names are coming, where Samaveda is coming. So, and he is a very personal and intimate associate of the Lord. If he wanted to curse back Saubari Muni, he could have easily done. Saubari Muni must have died on the spot if Garuda gave a curse. But did Garuda give? No. That is his greatness. He saw the sage and he said, okay, he's a great mystic yogi. I don't want to interfere with him. He cursed me, but I don't want to unnecessarily curse him. So he forgave and he went away. And you will see every one of these great personalities who did not do tit for tat, they have their reason. Garuda thought, okay, he's a respectable person. He's a sage. So I will not interfere with him. I will leave him. So he left him. Similarly, I told you about Nabaga. He had a great integrity. So he did not take tit for tat. Similarly, Shiva was in meditation on Lord Vasudev. He didn't want to spoil his meditation. So he did not take tit for tat. So everybody had their reason, you know. He thought that if I have an ego tussle with him, I know I will come down from the top to down, you know. You see, whenever we travel in an aeroplane, what is the first rule they tell you? Switch off your mobile. Put it in aeroplane mode or switch it off. And you have to keep it switched off for how much time? For the entire duration of the journey. Which means, if you have to go high in the plane, you have to disconnect yourself from the lower plane. Similarly, if you want to meditate on God, you have to disconnect from Kama, Krodha, Lobha. On all those lower planes. In the lower plane, Rajaguna, Tamaguna, Sattaguna, they are lower planes. Shuddha Sattva, pure, that is higher plane. So if you want to go to higher plane, for example, you try it one day. Early morning, you catch a devotee with a collar and give a slap angrily. And then you sit to chant the holy name. Can you chant? You can't chant. Because just now you had a very close connection with the lower plane. Suddenly you cannot fly up. Therefore, if you put a car and aeroplane, both of them go like this in the runway, and aeroplane takes off, but the car keeps going. You cannot run. Similarly, if you are connecting with lower plane, we cannot fly up. And for going to higher plane, we have to disconnect from the lower plane. Therefore, Shiva did not interfere with whom? With Daksha. He said, let him be screaming. I don't want to get into this foolish game. I am already ecstatically experiencing the beautiful form of Vasudev, Krishna. Let me just be peaceful. So he remained cool like that. So, now I told you, Tiraskrita, Vipralabdha, Shabda, three things I have told you. Then Kshipta, neglected. This is a very painful thing for people. When somebody is neglected, I will not tell you the entire story because you all may know this very well about Drona and Drupada. When Drona went to the palace of Drupada, he reminded Drupada, my dear friend, you told me that you will give me half your kingdom during our Gurukul days. And now I have come to you. But then Drupada looked around in the sabha. He thought, this Brahmana has come with tattered clothes. What will the ministers think of me? Then he told Drona, hey, don't try to revive the lost relationships in the past. That is the Gurukul days. Now you don't talk about it. Take little arms and get out of here. Don't spoil my prestige, he said. See the behavior of Drupada, diametrically opposite to behavior of Krishna to Sudama. When Sudama came, Krishna embraced him and put him on asana and washed his feet and fed him prasad and everything. Whereas Drupada actually felt a prestige problem. I heard that sometimes Krorpati people don't like to associate with Lakpati people. You know that? Of course, I don't know because I am neither Lakpati nor Karorpati. I am a servant of Lakshmipati. But they say that one category of people don't like to associate with the lower category. Sometimes you call some people for a dinner, you have to call people of the same status. If you call for a call of different status, they may not like it. Similarly, Drupada felt the ego problem, prestige problem. In this way, he neglected Drona and said, get lost, don't come in front of me. But do you think Drona left it? Drona went back and arranged for the Pandavas to defeat Drupada and snatch the kingdom from him and hand it over to Dronacharya. And then Drupada fell at the feet of Dronacharya at that time. And then Dronacharya told him, oh, my dear king, it seems all your property has become mine now. Earlier you said you'll give me half, but now full property has come to me now. And by the way, I can cut off your head if I want. But don't be afraid, I will not do it. I am not as mean-minded as you, he said. You insulted me in the public, but I will not do that. I will give your kingdom back, like a bhiksha, take it and go. At the time, Drupada was in chains, hands and legs. You know, internally he was fuming, but he could not speak it. He tolerated. But do you think he tolerated it? This is not tolerance, because he went back, he performed a yajna and created Dishtadyumna in the fire. to kill Dronacharya later. So back and forth you will see tit for tat in this. When you are neglected or mistreated, people do take action in this world. On the other hand, there are people who have a very high degree of tolerance. Even when they are neglected or insulted, they can take it. You all know Shukadeva Goswami, son of Vedavyas. His father sent him to Janaka in Mithila. See, Janaka means Sita's father. But all the kings are called Janaka only. In that lineage of Mithila. The kings, just like a surname kind of thing. Patil, 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 everybody's Patil you have. Like that they have Janaka also, like that. So one of the Janaka kings to whom, you know, Vedavyas sent his son for training in sense control. So Janaka went there. You know what was the first training program in sense control? When Janaka was waiting outside the palace, even the watchman didn't look at him. He was waiting for 3 full days. Imagine you go to somebody's house, they make you wait for 3 days. I don't know whether you'll be waiting also there. No? But he waited. And he was neglected. And he sat in meditation. And after 3 days, you know, our Janak Maharaj came with a big white umbrella and with lot of band, you know, music and everything, Brahmana chanting Vedic mantras, royal procession was given. Which means earlier insult was given and now enormous respect was given to him. Either way, Shukadeva Goswami was not affected. And of course, he did further test to him. He took him inside and said, please take this vati of milk and go around the palace 3 times and come to me. And then when he was going, so many young beautiful girls were doing Bharatanatyam. And they were laughing and they were, their Nupur was making sounds. But not even a drop of milk was poured out. He brought it back safely. And the third test was a too big a test. He told Shukadeva to open the tongue. And he put some sugar. And the sugar remained as it is, without melting. Then he said, he offered obeisances to him and said, Shukadeva, what can I teach you on sense control? You tell your father that I have to learn from you. You go back now. So this is another type of very great degree of tolerance. If somebody is apaman, they are doing apaman to me or neglecting me, not becoming wild like a snake. How can they dare insult me? He never took the insult. He was completely tolerant. And lastly, this is the last and height of all these activities, which is killing. If somebody makes an assassination attempt on you, can you tolerate it? You know, when Kartavirya Arjun wanted to steal the cow belonging to Jamadagni, he stole it. But later, Parashuram went and killed him. Kartavirya Arjun. But another time, Kartavirya Arjun's sons came and killed Parashuram's father. As a tit for tat. You will see that. So, you kill our father, so we kill your father. Like that they did it for that. So, even if somebody makes an assassination attempt to not do tit for tat, that has been shown by some people. Draupadi's 5 children were killed by somebody. You know who it is? Ashwatthama, yeah. And Ashwatthama was brought in front of Draupadi. Arjun said, if you want, I will behead him. But she said, don't kill him. She forgave him. Because she said, if you kill Ashwatthama, what will happen to his mother, who is a widow already? And just like I am weeping now, she will also be weeping. Please spare him. Like that she said. So now I told you, so she showed compassion to his mother, Kripi. So I have told you many Shastric examples now. 5 examples. Tiraskrita, Vipralabdha, Shapta, Kshipta, Hata, Api. I told you both. Some people took tit for tat and some people tolerated. So both side examples. So what should we do? We may have a question, isn't it? So Prabhupada says in the purports, in our personal life, if somebody insults us or neglects us or doesn't care for us, your Vaishnava never takes offense, he says, personally. But if there is a danger for devotees or danger for, you know, Lord, then one should be very strong. For example, sometimes some temples were attacked by terrorists. You cannot keep quiet. We have to take action. Similarly, you all know, Shurpanakha came and she wanted to marry Ram and marry Lakshman, marry Ram, back and forth she was going. Finally, she understood, this Ram has got this Sita, therefore this fellow is not marrying me. So she wanted to kill Sita, correct? At that time, Ram said, now it is too much now. Ram said, Lakshman, do the needful. And you know what Lakshman did? He did a nose surgery, you know, like that. Therefore it became Nasik. So that means, you know, when there is a danger for Lord or his devotees, a devotee cannot tolerate. One has to take rectification action. Even in America, Srila Prabhupada got a report that sometimes devotees try to distribute books in the airport. Some hoodlums come and beat up the devotees. Because there are some people belonging to other religions, fanatical religions. They want to discourage devotees from distributing Bhagavad Gita and other books. So, in order to frighten the devotees, they come and beat up the devotees. So, then devotees may think, how will I go to the airport tomorrow? They will beat me up. Then they may not come at all. So, then the devotees are wondering what to do with these people. So, should a devotee just get beaten up? You know, sometimes they hit you with something on the face or head or something. Some devotee may faint also. What should a devotee do? So, then one of the leaders told them, okay, don't go to that airport, go to another airport. So then they were going to other airport. Slowly in that airport also they caused trouble. Correct? No? Then some devotees took some other strong devotees, strong devotees. And when those guys came to beat, these devotees bit them back. They bit him back so strongly. And in some places, the person who bit and went, some strong devotee saw where are they going, and they found his place from where he is coming. When he is coming out, they jumped on him and bit him, and that fellow never touched the devotees after that. So, in this way, they brought this news to Prabhupada and told Prabhupada, you know, this fellow has attacked several devotees like this, at last we attacked. Prabhupada said that was right, because you are defending yourself. Devotee can defend oneself. Although devotee doesn't like to attack anyone. But we have to defend the lives of devotees. They are giving their lives. And Prabhupada said, try to avoid such kinds of fighting. Go to other places as far as possible. But in all the places they are discouraging you by beating you, then you have to defend yourself. So, in this way, you will find Yudhishthira Maharaj also defended himself. Like Bhima was administered poison, correct? Fortunately, was saved. And Yudhishthira Maharaj and Pandavas were other people who were supposed to be burnt in Varanavat. But Vidura gave an idea by which they escaped. Which means a devotee has a right to safeguard oneself. So that one time my Shiksha Guru, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, he asked a very difficult question for us in IIT when we were students. So he asked us, if somebody comes with a knife and tells you, say I'm going to stab you now, and you cannot stop me. Why? Because you are not the body, you are your soul. Some thief tells you like that. Now you may have a question, Prabhuji, how does thief know the philosophy? He is not a devotee thief. No devotee will be thief. But how can he say that? But he asked us this question. In case he comes to stab you and says, you are not the body, you are the soul. Anyway, you are the soul only. I will kill your body, if he says. What will you do? My Lord, none of us could answer it. Little difficult question. So then he himself answered it. He said, this body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Krishna. He is the first owner and you are the secondary owner. Therefore, we put tilak in 12 parts of the body, because this is a temple of Krishna. In this temple of Krishna, Krishna is residing and we are also residing as a secondary owner. Like that he said. So, it was a very amazing learning for me. Because one time I was walking in the road along with him, and I was on the roadside and he was on the sidewalk, walking. I was a little bit going towards the road while walking. And many cars were zoom, very fastly going. And Maharaj told me, hey Radhisham, don't walk carelessly. Come to the sidewalk, he said. I said, anyway Maharaj, I'm not the body. Even if I lose my body, I will get a replacement. But he said, see, this body is not yours. It is whose? Krishna. Therefore, you have no right to lose it. So, in this way, you have the right to protect your body. If somebody tries to kill it, somebody tries to destroy it, so you can defend yourself. Like that he said. So, and another thing, very important thing, imagine if somebody is putting fire to your house and running away. You are extremely angry with him. You know that this is the fellow who put fire. So, will you chase after the fire putter and beat him up? Or will you put out the fire in the house? Let us ask. You will put extinguisher in the house and put out the fire, or you will run behind that fellow who put fire and beat him up? We will take a vote. Huh? How many of you will run behind that fellow and thoroughly beat him up? Huh? There is three, four fellows are there. So when I asked this question in one youth program, they told me, Prabhuji, I will put out the fire at home, but I will tell another devotee to catch that fellow. Because he said, as much as I am eager to put off the fire, I want to take revenge by beating him up. No. So, but one important thing you should know. You see, in this world, Krishna says six things in Bhagavad Gita. Shita Ushna, Sukha Dukha, Man Apaman. Shita Ushna is on the bodily platform. Correct? Summer and winter. Now it's winter. Then summer comes. It's on the bodily platform. And Sukha Dukha is on the mind, mental platform. And Man Apaman hurts our ego. That's the subtlest. Out of the six things, the last two are the most painful. If somebody hurts our ego, it's extremely painful. And somebody pinches our mind, that is also painful. Then the bodily, these things. But Krishna says one interesting thing there. Jita atmana prashantatma paramatma samahitaha shitoshna sukha dukkeshu tata mana apamanayo. See, the second line, he tells all the six. Shita ushna sukha dukkeshu tata mana apamanayo. All the six he says. And he says, if anyone is able to tolerate these six urges and focus on the Lord, for him super soul is already reached, he is telling. You can very easily attain, you know, back home, back to Godhead, if you tolerate these six urges, he says. Shita Ushna, Sukha Dukha, Mana Pamana. So Prabhupada gives the example of a summer kitchen and winter bath. In winter, cold bath is very painful. In summer, a hot kitchen is very uneasy. But anyway, a mother cooks in the kitchen in summer, and you have to take bath in the winter also. Of course, most of us want to take hot water bath. But somebody has to take a cold water bath also. So in this way, those who tolerate Shita Ushna, Sukha Dukha, Mana Paman, they can easily go back to Godhead, he says. Otherwise, what will happen when you sit to chant the holy name? If somebody insulted you, that thought will come in the mind. It's called revenge fantasy. Somebody chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, you will not be able to peacefully chant. Abhi mara hone ke baad main dekh lunga. Correct? So, you can't chant. You need peace of mind to chant. Correct, no? So, therefore Krishna is saying, you have to get rid of these six things. Then only. Therefore, whenever somebody does anything to us, then how do we take it? There are various ways to take it. One time, His Holiness Badrinarayan Maharaj told one real incident. See, before he took sannyas, when he was a grihastha, he had a son and a daughter. One day, his daughter gave a slap to his son. He had the one son and one daughter. So the daughter gave slap to his son. So when she gave slap to the son, one tooth came out. Actually, that tooth was a decayed tooth which was causing a lot of pain to the boy. So, when they both were quarreling, she gave a slap and tooth came out. So, although the tooth came out, the boy was not angry with sister. Why? Because that was causing pain before. Now it is released now. So, I was very happy. Similarly, he was telling that if some devotee is giving us pain, they are giving our own quota which is waiting for us from the previous life. He was telling. So, we have done some past karma, bad karma, for which the result is coming through different people. Correct, no? Imagine, for example, one day, no one was around, you stole some sweet rice. Yeah. And you kept it below your locker or something like that. And then you went to take bath and come back, and you don't find it there. Correct, no? And you find it missing. So somebody here, you are like a thief who stole sweet rice, somebody has stolen from the thief only. Take it out. So now you can't lament too much, because that itself is stolen good. Correct, no? So, in the same manner, we ourselves have committed some bad thing in the past and the result is coming now. So, we should not become angry with those who are supplying the result. That's the point, you see. So, In this way, for keeping focus in our spiritual life, we should learn some inner understanding for tolerating others. In the Bhagavatam, there are many things that are said, why we should tolerate others. It says, you all know there are four defects in everybody. You heard of four defects? You know, imperfect senses, you know, illusion, and to commit mistakes, and cheating propensity. Every living being has. So we have these tendencies. Therefore, we have to tolerate it. We have imperfect senses. And in case somebody due to imperfect sense commits a mistake, don't get very wild unnecessarily. Like one time I was, whenever I would go in the train, you know, I used to give my laptop to my assistant to keep it. And assistant would lock it with a chain. You know. But sometimes due to excessive tiredness, my assistant wouldn't lock it with a chain. But he'll keep it in the side and go to sleep. So one day he was sleeping like that. I became very angry. Look at this fellow. He is keeping laptop by the side and sleeping. So I took it from him. And I took it and kept it on my side and I put the blanket around me. And I was keeping one eye open and seeing. And they told him that at 12 o'clock he got up and he got down. And he got shocked. Where is the laptop? And he woke up many people also. He asked them, did you see any thief coming here or something? And they said, why are you disturbing us? We don't know anything. Then the fellow went up the bathroom and he came back. Train was going very fast. And then he saw me on this side, you know, sleeping. Then he asked him, what is the matter? He said, Prabhuji, did you see the laptop? He asked. I said, I don't know. Because I wanted to sufficiently frustrate him. You know? After which I wanted to tell the truth, you know. Then after making him cry for 20 minutes, then I revealed the laptop. I said, see, you had not logged it today. Therefore, I took it and kept it. He said, I'm very sorry, Prabhu, I'm very sorry. Henceforth, I will lock it. I said, I can't trust you. Henceforth, I will only lock it and keep it on my side, I said. So then I started locking and keeping on my side. So 3-4 months later, one day I was also very tired. So I was working in the laptop till 11 o'clock, you know. Then I was so tired. You know, I kept the laptop by the side and I went to sleep. And this fellow was watching me all the while. You know? Now what he did, he took the laptop and kept it below, and he locked it below. And now when I got up, then I got down not seeing the laptop. And this one was pretending to sleep. Then he removed his blanket and asked, Prabhuji, any help is required? Nothing help is required. I said, you mind your own business. Because I had the ego that, you know, he is trying to tease me that I have lost my laptop. I find it out. Then I went here, there, everywhere. I couldn't find it. Then I came back and asked him, hey, tell me, did you take it? Then he was smiling and he got on. Yes, Prabhu, I kept it there. So, and then he told me, Prabhuji, you said I am imperfect. I humbly tell you, you also can be imperfect. So, right now. So, I told you, when I saw this incident, I learned one good lesson that, you know, there is a saying, God forgives those who forgive others. You know. So, sometimes people can commit mistake, but we get come down on their case very badly, we can say. Correct, no? So, there are reasons why we should not do it for that. Like this, which I told you. We can tolerate. So, that is one very beautiful formula that Narada taught Dhruva Maharaj. In doing interpersonal dealing with people, how you can lead a peaceful life. How many of you want to avoid interpersonal clashes? You all want, correct? So here is a formula. Please repeat. Gunadikan mulam lipset. Anukrosham gunadhamat. Maitrim samanadhan vichen. Na tapairiti bhuyate. You know what he is saying? Those who are superior to you should be jolly to receive them, he says. Those who are equal to you, be friendly with them. Those who are junior to you, show compassion on them. If you do these three things, he says, nobody will trouble you. You will lead a peaceful life, he says. So, those who are superior, don't be envious of them. Those who are equal, don't brag about yourself to them, but also share with them and hear from them. Those who are junior to you, don't try to dominate them, ridicule them, mock at them, but be compassionate to them. So if you do these three things, Narada told Dhruva that you will be very happy. And you will see this. I told you the pastime of Sarmishta and Devyani in the beginning, correct, no? You know, after that, do you know what happened? Sarmishta went home, the Kshatriya's daughter, and she talked to the father, you know, Papa, today what happened? He asked, what happened? I went to the riverside, this Shukracharya's daughter teased me, and she scolded me. I picked her up and threw her into a dry well. No, I am also not ordinary. You know, I wanted to show her that I am a king's daughter. You know? My Lord, when the king heard it, he got frightened. Immediately he could pictureize in his mind that Shukracharya must be very angry because Devyani must have gone home and cried to her father. And then Shukracharya will be very angry. Huh? And then immediately king told her his daughter, my dear daughter, what have you done? It was too much for you to behave like this. Huh? Wait a minute, I'll come. And then he immediately came out of the palace and walked towards Shukracharya's home. He was walking. And on the opposite side, Shukracharya was coming. You know, along with his daughter. And he was like, his lips are quivering and whole body was trembling. He was almost doing tandav, very angry. So king understood, now this Brahmana is angry. In anger, what he is likely to do? So when he saw the Shukracharya Brahmana coming, he suddenly flatly fell on the ground. Complete dandavat pranam. Pranam he did. And Shukracharya came closer and closer and said, get up, he said. King said, I won't get up, he said. No, get up, he said. Please promise me, don't curse me. Then the Brahmana said. And the Shukracharya felt pity for him. And then he said, see, my dear king, your daughter has mistreated my daughter. After all, Devyani is my daughter. You know, you have to please my daughter. See the way your daughter has behaved. And then he became very polite. Therefore, if somebody is in an angry mood, especially our superiors, we should know how to cool down an enraged superior. Huh? If they become enraged, you fall on the ground flat, catch their feet, they cannot be angry on you. It's very difficult for them to be angry on you. Correct, no? So, one should know the art of pacifying the parents, pacifying teachers, pacifying anyone. So, you see from Vrishabhrava. So, when we treat our superiors, we have to deal with them with great respect. If father or mother are angry with us, we should not counter talk to them. Rather, at least we can tell them that I will come, we will talk about it later. Yeah. And not try to incite more anger in them, correct, no? That is with superior. And while dealing with equals, how do we deal with equals? You know, this Hiranyaksha went all around and he went to Varuna Devata and said, hey Varuna. Of course, he didn't call hey Varuna. You know what he did? He offered obeisances to Varuna. And Varuna thought he is doing in a good mood or something. And then he said, hey, oh Varuna Devata, I have come to beg you something, he said. Varuna said, what do you want from me? And then Hiranyaksha laughed and said, I have come to beg you for a battle so that I can finish you in the battle, he said. And Varuna said, oh ho, you are begging like a very nice person, but you come with a very bad intention. And then he said, there is only one person who can fight with you, which is Lord Varaha. Huh? Go and have a nice battle and he will make you a feast for the jackals. Go there. Like that he sent him. Of course you find amongst the equal people there is a tendency to brag about oneself. I am great. That kind of tendency is there. But if you can have friends with whom you ask your friend his good achievements and you share your achievements with them, there can be a cordial relationship. In this way we can say many examples for this. But I want to share one very important principle which is for those who are gentlemen. This principle is live and let live. Repeat it.
Live and let
live. Jio, jene do. Correct, no? That is a principle. And there are three platforms. Aggressive, assertive and passive. Passive people are timid people. They are fearful. They will never take any action. They will tell other people, you walk over my head, you know, do whatever you want, I am very afraid. And they will never speak up. They will be very, very timid, you know. Very, very frightened people. They are passive people. And aggressive people they will break others' tooth. You know? They are very pushy people. They have a tendency to dominate. Like in our temple, we have prasadam kupan on Sundays, you know. Of course, some people have already coupon, and one time when they were giving out coupon like this, and they take the coupon and give a plate of prasad like that. So one time in the prasad mall, there was a big chaos. Somebody came running to me and said, Prabhuji, there's a big crowd, there's a fight there going on. And then I went, what happened? Then I asked the coupon collector, what happened? Kuch nahi hua, Prabhuji said. Then why is such a big crowd? But then one life member or somebody was there, he said, he got very insulted because the coupon collector was a bit little aggressive fellow. That fellow didn't bring coupon. So he told him, coupon hai ya? Coupon lage aao. Something like that he told them. So that fellow got offended. He said, have you come to temple for eating here? You know, that kind of life member became very annoyed, angry. So aggressive people, their speech itself, their signals you see in their face makes people frightened. Or it creates quarrel like that. Then I removed that coupon collector and put another one, mild fellow. Very mild fellow. Although he had a very big body, but always smiling. And then you will ask him, coupon kya dara? You ask. They will say, coupon nahi hai. Theek hai, chaliye. Everybody will learn. But at least one good thing with him is there was no quarrel. But I wanted somebody, the first one and second one divided by two. We wanted him. So we need politeness plus firmness. So who has politeness and firmness? That is the assertive person. So aggressive people have which one? They are only firm. And passive people are only? Yeah, they are only polite. Whereas assertive person is polite and firm. So if you want to become a good leader or a manager, what do you need? Politeness and firmness. You see, Yudhishthira Maharaj was more on the passive side. You will see that. When Jayadratha once took away Draupadi in the forest, later on Yudhishthira Maharaj told the other Bhima and Arjuna, see, Jayadratha is taking her in a chariot and going, bring him, he said. Bhima said, why bring him? We will finish him, he said. He said, no, don't finish him. And Bhima and Arjuna attacked Jayadratha. Very easily they subdued Jayadratha. At last Bhima, with his hands fist, he said, you lusty rogue, see what I do. And then he lifted his hand. Like that he came. And Arjuna said, hey, brother told us to bring him alive. He said, oh, sorry, I forgot. So Bhima was very aggressive. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was more on the passive side. But Arjuna was always assertive. And Arjuna was chosen by Krishna for speaking the Bhagavad Gita and also leading the whole Kurukshetra battle. So we need to cultivate this quality of assertiveness. Assertiveness means you know when to be polite, when to be firm, according to Deshkalpatra, to act. And therefore I told you, live and let live. You have the right to live also. But you have to let others also live. That is also important. So I'll tell you one true incident which happened. One time, I had gone to Juhu temple here in Bombay. And from there, I am supposed to go to Bhaktivedanta hospital, you know. So, in those days, many years ago it was, one of the temple drivers from Juhu, he took me in a sumo to Bhaktivedanta hospital. So, while driving the car, I was sitting behind and working on my laptop. And the sumo stopped at a signal. And whenever it stops in a signal, you all know, the boys with the bike will go like this and go to the correct. So one boy was going like this, and then when he went ahead of the sumo, so he hit the side, the mirror, you know, the mirror inside. So the mirror which was open like this, it became closed when he went like this. So, and then he went ahead and then stopped there. And that boy had a helmet also. So I was watching that my driver was becoming very angry, you know. So he was shouting at the boy, you know, that, you know, hey, you know, an akal hai kya? He was asking, do you have any brain? You know, something like that he was asking. And then he said, you are hitting the mirror and you are going ahead. And that boy took off his, you know, helmet and looked behind and he spoke some bad word to this driver. And then this driver, he saw that he was speaking bad word. Then he peeped his head out and then he also gave some bad words. And when they were hurling bad words at each other like this and yelling and shouting, in the meantime the signal changed. And it started moving. God is not moving. So he also went ahead. And I was sitting behind. So the driver was feeling a bit uneasy. Then he looked behind whether I am attentive to what is happening or I am busy with my work. So then driver looked behind and told me that, Swamiji, please don't take any offense. I spoke some bad words, you know. Hope you are not offended, he asked me. I said, that's okay, I said. And then he said, you know, what do you feel about what I did? He asked me. Then I asked him, what do you feel? I asked him. He said, no, I am confident what I did was right. Like that he said. Then I told him, okay, if you say it was right, then what can I say? You already know the answer. And you don't have to ask me, I said. And I continued working. Then he turned behind and said, no, according to dharma, you tell me. You know, what is right behavior? Because he was feeling something guilty, you know. Something guilty was feeling. Then I told him, okay, I'll tell you a story. After hearing the story, you will easily understand the answer, I told him. I said, in Srirangam, even today, if you go early morning, there are two elephants which come, which are trained to loudly call out, Ranga, Ranga, like that they call. You will see one cow and one elephant in the morning, you will see. So, early morning, about 4-5 o'clock or so, this temple elephant, this husband and wife elephant, they both are taken to the pond. They're nicely bathed. You know, the body is dry. They put a velvet cloth on the top. They put beautiful tilaks all over their bodies. And they have a nice bell ringing. So these two elephants, husband and wife elephant, were coming in the morning. At that time, one pig had got newly wedded, newly married couple, pig couple. And they were living inside the gutter, you know. So they were there. And then the husband pig came out of the gutter. He wanted to show off something to his wife because just now he's married now. You know, he was looking around and he saw these two elephants coming. Ding, 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 ringing the bell. They were coming, you know. So the husband pig, while he came out of the gutter, you know, all this stool and nasty things were dripping out of his body, you know. So suddenly as the elephant came near, he showed his hands and said, are you ready for a stunt? He asked. So immediately the big elephant got stunned. You know, he just for a moment he stood like this and said, no, I'm not ready, he said. And then he took a detour like this and he went ahead. And the she elephant had an ego problem, you know. She told the husband, but you have such a huge body like a mountain and the pig has such a small body. With your foot, if you give him one kick, he will become like a football. you can throw him into the ditch. And you have no self-confidence. Only your body size is big. You have no guts. And look at that small fellow, how much guts he has. Like that she was telling. So when the husband heard it, he said, my dear good wife, I appreciate your points. But please hear me before you conclude anything. He said, see, we are temple elephants. Just now they have bathed us so nicely. They have put such nice tilak in our body with velvet cloth, everything. And there are only 4-5 minutes left to go for Mangalarati. And we are supposed to welcome the Lord. You know, at this time, if I pick up a quarrel with this fellow, and all his dirty gutter will come on my body. And will I be fit for serving the Lord now? With a gutter body? Gutter restrained body? It would be so bad, you see. Right now we are so pure. So I thought, therefore, why to pick up a quarrel? So I just ignored him like that. And the wife, when she heard it, wife elephant, she was so happy. She said, I never thought you are so intelligent. She said, even Roop Sanatan in Vrindavan, once a Digvijay Pandit came for a debate, Roop Sanatan said, we don't want to do any debate. Bring that Patrika, and they signed it. Okay, we are defeated, you carry on. They didn't want to waste time with that Digvijay Pandit. Similarly, you also unnecessarily did not participate in a fight with that dirty fellows, contaminated fellows. So you are really smart, she said. So I told this story. Actually, even all of you devotees, your friends can sometimes challenge you. Hey, if you really have guts, hold a cigarette. You know. And then if you hold a cigarette, they will say, if you really have guts, smoke and show me. If you really have some guts, drink this liquor bottle. So you may be sometimes shocked. Hey, in the public, in front of so many students, they are ridiculing us. And we look like females, you know, we are not able to hold a cigarette or hold a liquor bottle and we look very timid. You know, log kya bare mein. So what you can tell your friend, hey, if you have guts, hold a bead bag. Take it. And if you have guts, put a tilak on your forehead. And if you have guts, come to our prana program. So, we don't have to fear. So therefore, this elephant was an intelligent elephant. So I told this story to the driver. So after I completed the story, the driver stopped the car in the side of the road. And he was clapping hands. He said, such a wonderful story. Aapne itna acha kahani bataya. Mujhe bahut acha laga. I asked him, acha laga aapko, lekin kya samajha aapne? Then he said, you know, then what he said? He said, I learned a very good lesson today, he said. What is the lesson, he said? He said, actually, just like that elephant is a temple elephant. And he didn't want to, you know, get the bad association of that, you know, that dirty pigs on his body. So he took a sign and went. Similarly, I am also a temple driver. And I am wearing tilak and I am also a devotee. And I should not speak such gali. And that such gali came out of my mouth because I associated with somebody who is speaking gali. So that became a kind of egoistic tussle, you see. It was not proper. And he said, Swamiji, I promise you, henceforth I will not speak such words. Like that he said. I said, oh, that's wonderful. You got a very good lesson today, I said. And then he again drove. And then he looked back at me and said, but Swamiji, who will teach such guys some lessons? Somebody has to teach lesson. If we don't teach, somebody else has to teach. We may be always timid and we may behave well. But these fellows go scot-free, not punished by anyone. Then I asked him, then why did you want to punish him? What was the reason? I said, oh, didn't you see? He went like this and hit my mirror and went. Then I asked him, did your mirror break? I asked him. He said, no. Did your mirror have a scratch? I asked him. He said, no. Then I said, then why are you so upset? I asked. Then he also said, I'm also wondering why I'm upset. Then he said, now I found the reason why I'm upset. Because he overtook me. Because people, when they go like this, whenever they go, we people have four-wheeler car, and we cannot go like them, but they can go ahead of us. So I felt a little envious, so I became angry, you know. I thought he said. So, he said, that anger was inside his heart, but that he vented out in a different way. You understand, no? This reminds me of a story. One time, a lamb, very tender lamb, was drinking water in the downstream in a river. It was drinking water, one lamb. And one jackal came and he went to the upstream and he was drinking water there. And the jackal looked at the lamb and his saliva was coming in his tongue. You know, he wanted to eat the lamb. And he said, hey lamb, why are you making my water muddy? He said. And the lamb said, sir, you are in upstream, I am in downstream. How can a person standing in downstream can make the upstream water muddy? Then the jackal said, maybe you didn't do, but your grandfather must have done. So I'm not going to spare you. Like that he jumped up. So, this is called as, you know, name a dog and hang it, we say, you know. Name a dog and hang it. Similarly, the lamb, the jackal pounced on the lamb for no good reason. Similarly, my sumo driver also pounced upon that boy for no good reason, simply because of an ego tussle. You understand? No? So, one good lesson we all learn in this world, you know, as I told you, in this world there are all kinds of people. You don't want to get into ego trips, ego tussles with various people. And if you get into ego tussles like that, then we also become nasty like them. We become like them. So, on the other hand, such small exchanges one can avoid and go on with, you know, with one's life peacefully. So therefore, if somebody insults or neglects, you know, how you, like this elephant was insulted by the pig, isn't it? But the elephant went his way and he didn't lose anything in life. On the contrary, the people who are trying to insult you will start seriously thinking how this person is, you know, so tolerant. You know, Jayananda Prabhu, in our organization, in Prabhupada's disciple, he would go with, you know, many of devotees were doing Harinam Sankirtan. One day when he was going, there was one shop Vala was very angry with devotees, very, very envious person. So he used to have eggs in the shop with water, you know, eggs put in water. So he took the hot water and he threw it in the sidewalk. And when devotees are doing Harinam Sankirtan with bare foot, when the hot water came on their foot, they all jumped up. Hari Bol, like that they were saying and jumped up. Yeah? And Jayanand Prabhu turned to that shop and said, "Sir, thank you for washing the sidewalk," like that they said. "Have a nice day." And he went ahead. So this was Jayanand Prabhu. Huh? Even if somebody would do like that, he knew the art of, you know, speaking to them very nicely. So I am coming to the last concluding point. So I told you when not to tolerate. One time Prabhupada was sitting with one Buddhist guru, you know, and Buddhist guru had all the disciples. And Prabhupada said, violence and non-violence have their respective place. It's not that always you have to be non-violent. Sometimes you may have to be violent. And Buddhist guru didn't agree. He said, "No, we have to be always non-violent," he said. Then Prabhupada asked, "When you are walking in the road with your disciples, say male and female disciples, somebody is catching the hand of your female disciple, what will you do?" he asked. Then the Guruji thought for a few moments and said, "No, I will not take any action," he said. Then some of the lady disciples said, "No, Guruji, you won't take any action? My Lord, dangerous guru. Yeah? You know, we thought male members should protect the females of the same group. If you don't take any action, what will happen to us?" So, and then Prabhupada told, "Just see, if a female is being molested or being captured by somebody, you have the right to become violent at that time. How many of you agree? Correct, no? Everyone else." So Prabhupada proved that. Therefore Prabhupada called it as a nonsense non-violence, he said. You know, like, you know, Prithviraj Chauhan, you heard about it, correct, no? How many times he forgave? So 17 times, yeah. And the 18th time, when that king, the opposite king, captured Prithviraj Chauhan, you know what he said? He said, 70 times you defeated me and you left me. But now that I have defeated you, I will not leave you alive." And he killed him. So, therefore, one should know that when Prithviraj Chauhan, 17 times he spared him again and again. If he sees that this fellow is repeatedly coming, likely that sometimes I may be defeated also. Better he capture him, put him in jail, and arrange one minister to take care of the kingdom of that fellow. So you are peaceful, kingdom is peaceful, this fellow is inside the jail, everything is cool. Correct, no? He could have done that. Maybe if I was there, I would have given suggestion to Prithviraj Chauhan. Correct, no? But he was too forgiving. Correct, no? Therefore, Narada Muni told his snake disciple, one snake disciple told Narada that, "Ever since I became your disciple, I don't harm anyone. I have become extremely mild. But because of that, all the boys are stoning me," he said. So Narada said, "I told you not to bite anyone, but you can always hiss." Correct, no? He said, he told the snake. Then ever since the snake started hissing, no boy would come to, you know, beat him. Correct, no? Boys were afraid because when the snake would hiss, they would run away. Correct, no? So therefore, I told you about assertive behavior while living in this world, especially in a very materialistic society where people are extremely exploitative and selfish. If one is passive, people will walk over your head. And if you are aggressive, then you are exploiting them. But if you are assertive, then you take what you deserve and you let them take what they deserve. And Srila Prabhupada did that very expertly. In America, when they purchased one building, they didn't purchase one building. One Mr. Price, he cheated the devotees, saying that, "I'll give you one bungalow free from some rich man." Finally, he asked for $5,000 from the devotees for getting some papers. Finally, he said, "Neither will you get the building, nor will you get the $5,000. But Srila Prabhupada went to America, put a court case, and took him on task, and got the entire money penny by penny, he got everything back from him. Prabhupada was very intelligent. So Prabhupada used to say, never get cheated, and never cheat others also. So, which means actually the assertive platform. So I will tell you a concluding point, last point. The best policy is try to be friendly with all living entities. So that unnecessarily we don't increase our enmity in this world. Because if you increase enmity today, tomorrow after some time it may create trouble. I heard one story of one elephant was walking on a road. There were thousands of ants passing by. But this elephant thought, look at me, how mighty I am. And look at these ants, how tiny they are. So he, with his big foot, he started pounding on the ants. Like, you know, imagine the elephant foot is so big. Under one elephant's foot, hundreds of ants would be crushed. So the leader of the ants came in front of him and said, sir, wait a minute, why are you killing us? What did we do to you? And the elephant laughed and said, no, look at you, you are so tiny, I am so big, I am going to kill all of you, he said. And the leader of the ants immediately put a curfew. He told all the ants, all of you go into your holes. Nobody should be seen outside. Immediately all the ants went inside. And the leader ant told the elephant, you think you are mighty, wait and watch what I do. And the elephant said, what can you do, you tiny creature, get lost, he said. And then both of them went their way. A week later, this leader of the ants, he saw the elephant sleeping one day. So he climbed up his body and went into the ears and started biting inside. Inside the ears of the elephant. The elephant suddenly got up. What is inside? And he flapped his ears very, very fastly and screamed loudly because he wanted to get rid of the pain inside. And started running hither and thither, went berserk. And the news reached the king, and king put an order, kill the elephant immediately, it has gone mad. And the elephant was killed because of one ant, just imagine. Therefore, it is best for us unnecessarily not to create enmity with even tiny people also. Not only very big people. In general, therefore, Parikshit Maharaj offered this wonderful prayer. Punascha bhuyat bhagavatyanante ratim prasangascha tadashrayeshu mahatsu yam yam upayami srishtim sarvatra maityastu namo dvijebhyah. Three boons Parikshit asked. He said, my dear Lord, let me develop unalloyed love for you. Let me get the association of devotees. And let me have friendly disposition towards all creatures. That's the one I was telling you. Let me have friendly disposition towards all living beings, he said. So, that which means live and let live. Live peacefully and let others live peacefully. And whether should we take tit for tat, as I told you, if you are a Vaishnava, Vaishnava should exhibit noble qualities. Na krodo na chamatsaryo na lobo na shubhamatihi bhavanti krita punyanam bhaktanam purushottame. Na krodo, a Vaishnava is never angry unnecessarily. Na chamatsaryo, he never has malice towards any living beings. Therefore, Dhruva Maharaj said, don't have malice. And na lobo is never greedy. Na ashubhamatihi, he does not hatch any plots to trouble other creatures. Bhavanti krita punyanam bhaktanam purushottame. 24/7 a devotee of the Lord is chanting, worshipping the Lord, reading books and helping other creatures. So we should fill up our time with very constructive and meaningful activities. Now the Prabhupada book marathon is coming in December. So you can reach out Prabhupada books to people. And we should be busy with welfare activities rather than, you know, trying to create trouble for other living entities and trying to create trouble for ourselves. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. See, towards the end I was telling you about book distribution. They told me to share something about book distribution. Recently, I heard one very inspiring pastime from His Holiness Prabodhana Saraswati Maharaj, which I will share with you. So he was telling, once when they went for, actually this His Holiness Prabodhana Saraswati Maharaj has been a brahmachari in Vrindavan temple. For 25 years he has been a book distributor in Sankirtan bus party. And they would take buses and go to different places. So once when he went with a group of devotees in the bus, they forgot to take the papers of the bus, which is very important, isn't it? So in one place in RTO office, you know, they were stopped in the afternoon time. They said, they asked, where are the papers? They said, sorry, we don't have papers. They said, you have to give 6,000 rupees. They said, devotees said, we have no money with us. They said, if you have no money, then no, you park the bus here. Then they made them park the bus. And after devotees parked the bus, devotees thought, anyway, we have no waste of time. You know, whatever time we have, we can use in Krishna service. They found out a hand pump nearby, you know, where they took bath. They chanted in the evening, they did kirtan in the bus. Night they slept very peacefully. Huh? And next day morning they got up, they took bath in the hand pump. And devotees thought, we will remain here as long as they tell us. Huh? We have no problem, bead bag is there, Prabhupada's books are there. And there is a nice kitchen inside the bus. And there is a nice hand pump for bathing. What else you need? Huh? Everything is there. So devotees are peaceful. Next day morning also they had Mangalarti in front of the bus. Everything was going on. At about 9 o'clock the RTO office opened. And as soon as this gentleman, RTO man, came and sat in the office, and all the people entered the office, and the fan which was rotating, he put on the fan, dahal, it fell down. When the fan fell on his table, it hit him on the head little bit, one of the wings of that hit him. And then this fellow was like shell-shocked. Because imagine a big fan falling on you. Thank God it didn't fall on his head, it just fell on the table, slightly hitting him. And immediately his assistants and other people said, आपने हरे कृष्ण वालों को रोक दिया आपने इसलिए वो गिर गया ऊपर से नीचे ये थोड़ा इंडिकेशन मिल रहा है आपको उन लोगों को छोड़ दीजिए उनको है ना लाइक दैट दे सेड लीव दिस पीपल पुअर पीपल दे सेड एट दैट टाइम डिवोटीज हैड मेड वेरी नाइस प्रसाद एवरीथिंग दे वर ऑल सिटिंग इन अ सर्कल एंड ईटिंग प्रसाद वेरी हैप्पीली हियरिंग कीर्तन एंड देन द आरटीओ पीपल एंड दे when the officer went to meet the devotees, they said, Abhi baith jaiye, abhi khaiye prasad. Because devotees are very innocent. They don't see anybody as the enemy at all. Yesterday only this fellow has made them stop the bus. But today the devotees are not seeing him as the enemy. They put a plate for him and eat. He said, okay, I will eat the prasad, but I have come for a very important thing. He said, aap logon ko rok diya, maaf kar dijiye aap. And then he took out some 1,000 rupees, you know, 2 500 rupee notes and said, please accept it as a donation. Gave the devotees. Abhi aap log nikal jaye idhar se. And devotees could move ahead. So Maharaj was telling that Krishna arranges very amazing thing. One another instance he said, when they went in the bus party in the Himachal Pradesh, in that place, in one place, when the bus was going, it went little like this. So if it slips from there, 3,000 feet or something like that, it will fall from the top into the river below. Fortunately, it didn't happen. So all the brahmacharis jumped out of the bus. And they came out, and then they had to walk something like 5 to 10 kilometers to reach to the people and all. But this Maharaj, one Maharaj said, I will not get out of the bus. He said, what will I do if I get out of the bus if it goes down, with what face can I tell the temple? He was the leader of the bus party. He said, in case the bus slips and falls, then I will also go with it. He was determined, and he was sitting inside and chanting. So now, many, many people were passing, it became night. Next day, early morning, some Himachal people came. They said, hey, your bus is standing like this. He said, yeah, people are saying it cannot be taken. It is slightly bent. It's going, we don't know. It's not falling also and it is not coming this side also. He said, who said it cannot be taken? Because the driver of the bus had also left and gone ahead. And the driver, while going, you know what he said? Koi bhi is gaadi ko nikal nahi sakta. Agar koi nikal sakta hai, toh main uske liye jeevan bhar free mein kaam karunga, muft mein kaam karunga. Like that he had told. And then Himachal people came and said, aisa kuch bas nahi hai jo Himachal ke log nikal nahi payenge. Hamara anubhav, humne bahut kuch kiya hai. Then they brought a tractor, they put a steel cord and they put in the bus. And many people managed the bus and at last they brought it. And actually, when I heard that past time, I was amazed. Because this one devotee was inside the bus, Krishna could not throw the bus below. Because he thought, how can he throw this devotee? He has so much faith and conviction. And then, when this bus reached, the other devotees, brahmacharis, they were all waiting 10 kilometers ahead. So Maharaj caught the driver and said, Abhi tumko muft mein kaam karna padega tumko. Bus aa gaya abhi. So he was telling many realizations like this, and we go. Actually, he was telling one interesting thing. When you come to the temple, all devotees deal with you very sweetly. You know, you eat prasad, you chant and dance in front of the deities. Everything is very wonderful. But when you go in the outside world, you know, people will confront you. People will insult you. People will laugh at you. Many times, you know, they will not be interested also. Today you heard about tit for tat or tolerate that, isn't it? So, when you go in the outside world, how you are able to expertly reach out the book to them will depend on how much inner tolerance you have developed. One's greatness is estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. So this marathon month you can get many provoking situations all around. Because many people will not take it very easily. We have to have a lot of patience. So, in fact, one time I was about to cry. It was 2 hours I was in Pune station. Nobody purchased the books. I took Bhagavad Gita. Almost I had 20 Gitas with me. At last I saw a group of 4-5 boys. I directly went to the leader of the group and I told him, see, I told you are the leader of this group. Similarly, Arjuna is a great leader. You see how he was crying in the beginning of the battle. And after hearing Gita, how confident he is, you see. I told him. So he took interest. And then he took the book and said, okay, I'll take one copy. And then he told all his friends, hey, you guys, all of you take one. So all the guys took one. So 10 Gitas went immediately. So that was I was about to leave back for the temple. In 1 minute, 10 Gitas went. So you will get lot of reciprocation from the Lord when we struggle for Him, when we make endeavors for Him, when we sweat and make a special endeavor. So all of you young students, you have been coming to this temple for many months. Some of you have been coming for years also here. So our Baladev Prabhu, every time during the marathon, he works very hard conducting several meetings for different for congregation, for the brahmacharis, for the boys. So you all put your best and not just enjoy the wonderful spiritual shelter that you have received, but also share it with other youths who are all struggling out there, taking to drugs and taking to liquor and smoke and, you know, gradually killing themselves. Please save them also. Thank you.